The African government has once again dismissed U.S. President Donald Trump's claims of human rights abuses in the country. Trump has repeated his debunked claims that Afrikaners are being persecuted. Because of this, he says no U.S. official will attend the G20 Leaders Summit in Johannesburg this month. News of Africa's correspondent Simon Marx joins us live now from Washington, D.C. Simon, good to have you, and thank you very much for coming on. The United States will officially boycott the upcoming G20 summit in South Africa. Is this what the president has now announced, following, of course, his sentiments that actually South Africa should not be part of the G's at all?
Yeah, absolutely, Tapo. I mean, that certainly looks like it is where we now are. Remember that earlier in the year, President Trump made it clear that he personally would boycott the G20 summit to be held in 2 weekends' time at NASREC in Johannesburg, but that he was going to be sending J.D. Vance, America's vice president, in his place. And President Trump announced that. He articulated that news personally behind the Resolute desk in the Oval Office. Then suddenly, last night, seemingly out of nowhere, President Trump took to his social media feed to say that it is a disgrace, a total disgrace, that South Africa is even getting to host the G20 summit. He again voices the claim that genocide is being committed in South Africa against Afrikaner farmers. He again falsely claims in the active tense that farms and land are being expropriated without compensation. That's a fresh reminder that government's efforts in South Africa to push back against those claims, to say that no, that particular element of the Expropriation Act has never been used up until now. Those explanations have fallen on deaf ears at the White House. And as a result of that, he says, unless the South African government somehow changes course and abandons its discrimination against the Afrikaners, as Donald Trump claims that discrimination exists, there will be no U.S. government officials at the G20 summit. So that certainly indicates that J.D. Vance's trip to South Africa is off, news that may come as a bit of a surprise to the vice president. It also indicates that no lower level officials, no Marco Rubio, the Secretary of State, no Scott Bessent, the Treasury Secretary, not even their deputies will be attending the G20 summit. And there is surprise in that, because certainly within the last few weeks, the Americans had re-engaged in the planning process for the G20 Leaders Summit that President Ramaphosa will be chairing. And it also raises a real question about the choreography of at least one aspect of the Leaders Summit. America is hosting the 2026 G20 summit in Florida at Donald Trump's own golf club this time next year. That requires the gavel of the G20 to be handed over by President Ramaphosa to whoever is representing the United States at this year's summit in South Africa, just as Inácio Lula da Silva in Brazil handed the gavel over to the Americans a year ago, to the South Africans, rather, to President Ramaphosa a year ago. Well, with no U.S. government officials attending that summit, according to President Trump, presumably there will be no one from the U.S. there to receive the gavel from President Ramaphosa. Whether that ultimately matters in any concrete terms as far as the G20 Secretariat is concerned is a different question, but certainly it strips the summit of one particular photo op that the world's media always likes to capture: the handover of the gavel from the presidency of one G20, this year South Africa, to next year's presidency, the United States.
There's been a pattern of diplomatic friction, if you like, a boycott being the latest in a series of other clashes between the Trump administration and South Africa. Is this likely to escalate to 2026, where the United States as a host can decide not to invite South Africa to the G20 next year? Of course, it's an informal forum that operates on consensus, so the other countries as well would have to have buy-in into that.
Yeah, I mean, it's very difficult to see how the United States can disinvite President Ramaphosa from the 2026 summit. Remember that earlier in the week, the president argued that South Africa should be thrown out of the G20, that it shouldn't be in any of the Gs, he said. And let's just revisit how he came to articulate that view, because it's important. On Wednesday, President Trump was in Miami addressing an American business forum. There were all sorts of people from all over the world attending that event. And during the course of his speech, he started talking about what an extraordinary thing it was that so many people had fled communism and come to South Florida from, he said, South Africa. And it seemed very clear to people who were in the room, and I spoke to people who were in the room watching that speech, and you can see it on video, that the president may well have misspoken. He meant to say people fleeing from South America to come to South Florida, fleeing communism in South America. But rather than concede the mistake, President Trump then doubled down on the reference to South Africa and went off on this riff in his speech about what a disgrace it was, what was happening in South Africa and South America. And then he started railing against the fact that South Africa was hosting the G20 summit, said that the country should be kicked out of the group and all the G's. And the whole thing left many people who saw it scratching their heads and wondering just where that had come from, because it clearly wasn't the intent of the speech and that element of the speech that he was making when he erroneously said South Africa instead of South America. Fast forward 48 hours, and there's been a lot of comment here about whether there was a mistake in that speech. And suddenly last night, he's announcing that he's completely boycotting America's participation in the G20, which almost makes you wonder whether on President Trump's part, he's not sort of tripling down on that mistake that he made in the speech in Miami, and South Africa is carrying the can for it.
Is there a pattern again of diplomatic friction here, considering that lately there has been this back and forth between the United States and Nigeria, with even threats of sending the army there to Nigeria because Christians are being killed?
Yeah, absolutely. Guns are blazing, as President Trump said, of his plans, if necessary, to launch military strikes on Nigeria. Again, policy that is being built, critics contend, on misinformation. The president of the United States presents the situation in Nigeria in absolutely binary terms. Christians, he says, our cherished Christians, are getting massacred by Muslim Islamic fundamentalists. What the US interpretation of what is taking place in Nigeria fails to acknowledge is that the majority of people being targeted by Islamic terrorists in Nigeria are themselves Muslims. Certainly, Christians are being killed in large numbers, but Muslims are being killed in even larger numbers. The United States has nothing to say about that. And this is also now, of course, embedded in the president's refugee proposals, his new plans, only to accept 7,500 refugees a year into the United States. That's down from 125,000 during Joe Biden's last year in office. The vast majority of slots earmarked for Afrikaners, but he's also leaving some slots open for people who face what the new wording describes as discrimination and persecution. And that may extend to Christians in Nigeria, but certainly not to other victims of Islamic terrorist violence in Nigeria. So these frictions are only going to intensify. And the diplomatic frictions with South Africa, I mean, still no light at the end of the tunnel over US tariffs on South African goods. A new US ambassador to South Africa heading to Pretoria soon, Brent Bozell, who has absolutely aligned himself behind the approach that Donald Trump and Marco Rubio have been taking to South Africa, rooted as it is in those false claims about the Expropriation Act being used to expropriate land from Afrikaners without compensation, even though that has never happened. This bilateral relationship remains at its lowest ebb in history, even including the excesses of the apartheid era.
Appreciate your time, Simon. Thanks so much for coming on. That's our Newsroom Africa correspondent.